Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com here on Seaside FM. I'm Costas Halavrezos. In their teens and 20s, it was not uncommon to hear baby boomers repeat the catchphrase, "Never trust anyone over 30. So, what catchphrase could they toss out with just as much sass now that they're hitting 60? That's right, 60. It's the title of Ian Brown's new book, subtitled A Diary of My 61st Year, a frank, funny, and disturbing meditation in which he tries to determine whether that milestone is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. Hello, Ian Brown.
Hi.
Now, I guess we all present a very familiar, if aging, face to our family and friends and work colleagues, but you take us into the mind of a man turning 60. What were some of the things you wrote about that might come as a surprise to those people who just see the face?
Well, you know, it's a very a dark place, the mind of a man getting older, or at least sometimes it's a very dark thing, and at other times it's not. I guess the things that would surprise people most of all would be how persistent desire is. You know, you think that by the time you're 60, you're going to be freed of that, and you won't have to. You'll be freed from being controlled by some part of your desire or your anatomy or something like that. And in fact, as you turn 60, what I found anyway is that it changes. It becomes less reliable in obvious ways, but it also becomes more Catholic in the sort of in the old-fashioned word sense of that word. In other words, it becomes more all-encompassing. So whereas when you're a middle-aged man, you know, you might, or a young man, for instance, you might be drawn to a particular character or a particular type of woman, or you know, fairly broad range, and you know by the time you're 45 maybe that's slightly changed. By the time you're 60, you know, you could be attracted to somebody, at least in my case it's women, but it can be, you know, wide range obviously, but by the time you're 60 you could be attracted to a woman walking around in a pinwheel hat. I mean, you know, it's so completely unpredictable. And that came as a huge surprise to me. And I think, I guess the other thing that came as a surprise to me was that it's not just one sensation. I mean, I don't know why I thought. It's like when I was a kid, when I was 12, I thought, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting married. Because when I get married, I'm going to have sex every night of my life. And, you know, as one knows, marriage turns out not to be quite like that. And I guess I thought when I was, you know, 50 or 45, by the time I'm 60, I will just have one, I'll be so resigned, or I'll be so experienced, or I'll be so wise, or I'll be so something, that I will just have one basic experience. Because I guess that's how young people think of old people, you know, they don't really feel anything except a kind of saturation.
But it seems like a kind of a mean evolutionary trick to maintain the desire when you reach your age.
Yes, exactly. It's a, you know, it's what age gives with one hand, it takes away with the other hand, and that, you know, that's a bit of a problem.
Now, I guess anyone who's go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Ian.
Well, it's just that I thought it would be steady, and it isn't. You know, one of the reasons I wrote the book was that I was, some days I would be waking up like Harold Pinter saying, you know, to hell with death. And other days I would be waking up as a sniveling, you know, mewling coward on the floor thinking, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And it was the complete, you know, that's a complete changeover in the course of 24 hours. I thought that would all fade away, but it doesn't. In fact, you just become capable of thinking about both sides of it as opposed to only one side of it, which is what characterizes one's younger days.
I guess anyone who's getting old can't help but be vigilant about the state of their own mind and body. But it was your mother-in-law who put it most succinctly. She said, when you close your eyes, you're all the ages you've ever been. Is that what really bedevils you?
Well, it turns out to be the most profound thing my mother-in-law has ever said. And not that she's shallow or anything, but it's a very complex thing. That I guess the thing is, you have seen the early part of life and you've seen the later part of life, and you're capable of seeing those two aspects at the same time. And that gets, we fear so much the loss of forward motion, the loss of being able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. We fear so much forgetting a phone number or forgetting a name. You know, as Larkin said in his famous poem, The Old Fools, it's not hearing who or not knowing why. These are the first signs of aging. We fear them so much. I think if you can manage to hold on to some sort of physical capability or some sort of mental capability, and obviously one of the great fear is that so often those choices are taken out of our hands completely as we get older. But if you're lucky enough, and I realize I am lucky in that way so far, if you're lucky enough to hang on to those two things, you can kind of suspend judgment and observe things in the moment, and that turns out to be actually quite satisfying.
Now, at 60, you have experience and skills and connections and perspective, but how much pressure do you feel as you try to decide now what projects you should start and which you might actually have a chance of completing in the time that's left?
Well, that's one of the great, nightmares of getting older, I think, is that everything becomes a kind of actuarial analysis. So you want to read, let's say you want to read James Joyce's Ulysses, and you want to read, Moby Dick, by Melville, and you want to read War and Peace by Tolstoy. Well, each of those, to read them properly, that's probably a couple of months' work, probably more than that. And, should you read those? I mean, you've only got, say I have 20 years left, and I can read a book a week. Let's say that. That's 50 books. That's 1,000 books. Well, there's way over 1,000 books that I want to read. I mean, I've still got about 20,000 that I'd like to take a look at. So you really have to decide, right? Is this or should I, to hell with, Ulysses is occasionally difficult and boring. So maybe I'd be better off watching The Wire every night. Maybe I'd be better off watching the rugby or the soccer or the NFL football or the hockey game.
But that's as a consumer of writing. But that's a consumer of writing. But you are a writer. What about writing projects of your own?
Well, of course. The real rust of the soul, as somebody said, is regret. I hate the regrets. I mean, everybody has them, and I've got them too. And I hate the regrets I've got, and I'd rather not regret turning down projects. So, all the times I thought I might have had an HBO series in me, or a great Broadway musical in me, or a great play in me, or a possible a possible novel, or a couple of songs that I would have liked to have written. You say, well, I could fail at that. Best to stick to what I know. And then you regret never trying it. So there's all kinds of things. Although I must say that as I get older, I worry less about failing at it. I really do think that as people get older, failure means less to them because they realize it's inevitable. And that there is no such thing. I mean, as David Hockney, who is now in his 80s and still painting. He can't get around as much anymore, so he's in California, and he paints the same scene every single day. But he paints it in a million different ways because, you know, he gets to know the scene better and better. He once said, there's no such thing as failure. You just do what you do, learn from it, and move on. And at the risk of sounding like, you know, some like a terrible cliche, I really do think that's, it took me a long time to realize that. I wish I'd picked it up earlier.
I'm Costas Halavrezos. You're listening to Encore on Seaside FM, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest on this week's edition of Encore is journalist, broadcaster, and award-winning author Ian Brown. His new book is entitled 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. Now, as I mentioned, you not only write, but you read, and like many things at the age of 60, you have to decide what to take time to read, what you don't waste time on. We just discussed that, but you really tackled an especially challenging work, this multi-volume autobiography, although he calls it a novel, but an autobiography really by the Norwegian writer, Karl Ove Knausgård. How did that act as a kind of counterpoint to what you were writing about as a 60-year-old?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I'm not even sure I know the answer. It's one of those things. I started to read the book because a friend of mine said, have you seen this book? It's really great. It's about the inner life. And I was sort of interested in the inner life. And then I read a review of it in The New Yorker, and I thought, or the first volume, and I thought, you know, that's, Maybe something's telling me to read this thing. So I started, and there are six volumes in total. When I read them, there only three had been published in English. They're each about 700 pages long, and it is the daily record of his life. You know, from lighting a cigarette to burying his father to that weird sort of boredom, anxiety-filled period you go through when somebody dies, somebody close to you dies, you know, before the funeral. I mean, just the most incredibly detailed thing. So about what it was like as a boy to walk, how great it was always when you were a kid, how everything seemed new. And when he asked himself what it was that was new, he thought, well, you know, just in Norway, like it was spring, it was warm, there was still snow on the ground, the snow melting on your clothes, the damp spots on the clothing of the girls, the way every time you stepped outdoors and you saw something coming, it was a new adventure. And it was his ability to focus in on details that really struck me, that he wasn't saying these are important details and these aren't. He was writing about what grabbed him, what entered into him and took up space inside him, and he managed to write about those things. And it struck me because, you know, as you get older and you have like less time to do stuff, and you still want to do a lot of stuff, I'm one of those, you know, idiots who, my habit is to speed up and try and cram in more, right? And the problem with doing that is you start to skip over details, and then you can't remember what's happened to you, because details, you know, as Joyce and as Knausgård and everybody, many, many, many writers have pointed out, you know, God is in the details, the universe is in the details, the universal is in the particular. And the trick, kind of counterintuitively, it seemed to me, in this book, as I was writing it, is to slow down. So you think time's running out, you've got to speed up, you've got to get to wherever it is you've got to get to before the time goes. In fact, you have to slow down. Stop worrying about getting to the place and pay attention to what grabs you that is right in front of you. Because in that curiosity and interest, if you pay enough attention to it and you examine it and turn it over and over again and again enough, you find this kind of infinity. I know I sound like I've lost my mind.
Not at all.
There's this kind of infinity in those details, yeah. And it's spectacular. But it takes this act of daring as an older person to say, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what I care about, to these few things, and I know they will lead me somewhere. That is actually an act of, I think, intellectual and spiritual daring. And it's counterintuitive because, you know, as you get older, your body starts to fail you a bit. And as a result of that, you think, well, like, my body's less reliable. Maybe I'd better be less daring intellectually as well. Whereas, in fact, if you can, if you're lucky enough to have the capacity, what you should really do is do the exact opposite and take all the chances you can intellectually.
I only wish we had more time to take the chance of talking for another half hour, but I'm afraid we run out of time. Ian Brown, thank you very much for taking our
call. Ramble on.
Not at all. Thank you for taking our call.
A pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Ian Brown is a journalist, broadcaster, and award-winning author. His new book is entitled 60, A Diary of My 61st Year. We'd like to hear what insights and preoccupations you have as you approach or pass that benchmark year. Our email is encore@boomerswork.com. You've been listening to Encore on Seaside FM, sponsored by boomerswork.com. If you're retired or close to retirement and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, boomerswork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of boomerswork.com to find out more. Each week at this time, boomerswork.com presents Encore on Seaside FM. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring the opportunities and challenges that face the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.